Grow up and be a man is really not so much about my opinion on what being a man is, but more of learning from example, from our own experiences, and then setting our own course. Life doesn't come with instructions, and folks are pretty much responsible for writing their own book of care and feeding, or they're likely to live a life wholly instructed by others. That's not always so bad, and sometimes can be quite good, but in each life there comes a time when one has to pull up their anchor, unfurl their sails, and chart their own course. It helps to have a compass and a sextant if one wishes to be a pathfinder. There are also lighthouses, beacons, and buoys along the way to guide us on uncharted waters. But ultimately, we find that we are the captain of our own ship. There are times when we should set sail, and we are fortunate indeed if we have the wind of encouragement, the sails of hope and promise, to help push us along. There are also times when we need to rely on the anchors provided by wise and experienced navigators of life, often handed to us with strong and gentle hands. These anchors are intended to keep us from drifting. Anchors and mooring ropes are not intended to keep us in the harbor. They are there to hold us secure and safe, perhaps from stormy and difficult seas, but only for a time. And life is not confined to wharfs, jetties, quays, and piers, so often we will be set adrift. As the sailor reeves rope through ring, or wraps cordage on pin and cleat, life can drain us through our own scupper, or wrap us around our own mast. Sometimes we pay the demurrage, and other times we bravely scud along in our own boat, sailing swiftly before a gale. We may choose an affreightment, relying on the captain and crew of another man's vessel. But whether bargemaster or bosun, patroon or coxswain, we learn it is the captain who always goes down with the ship. We hopefully learn the dissimilarity between being keel-hauled or careened and breamed, where with one we are punished and shown the error of our ways, and with the other we are maintaining the soundness of our ship. Another lesson shows us the subtle difference between laveering and quartering, and when it is best for one or the other. For sometimes we must sail against the wind, and other times we are sailing nearly before the wind. Often we must rest a hull with sails furled and helm lashed to the lee side. And yet other times we engage the windlass when we find ourselves going sternway, lest we butt our bumpkin or figurehead against the bow of another ship. With either of these, we fare better than had we run afoul of a warship's rostrum and being short in our own gunnage. We learn to master steady hand to helm, how to employ the luchet to pivot our mainmast and pass safely under a bridge, when to jibe, or when to use kedge or bower. We never confine ourselves to views from the scuttles and portholes, but boldly stand on quarter-deck or poop-deck, bow or stern. Whether we room in the lazarette or fore-cabin, the wardroom or captain's quarters, whether captain or snotty, purser or bosun, we never hide in the cofferdam or shirk our duties. We pay what is due, never shorting on groundage or primage. We accept our pay only for honest work rendered. Be it a commissioning pennant of the Royal Navy flown from our masthead, or a house flag flown from our jackstaff, we proudly display our escutcheon with respect and honor.